Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And this translation is from the Common English Bible. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, and the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kim, and all of those that assist with worship. Sometimes I name people, and then sometimes I realize I forgot to name someone. But everybody, we appreciate all that you do to lead us to God's throne in worship this morning. Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and our receiving. Amen. I've shared with you that I love to cook. So last night I needed a little baking therapy. Something I made to bring tonight because I don't need the eating therapy that goes along with that sometimes. So I decided to make a couple of pound cakes. I made a Bailey's Irish Cream pound cake, and I made a Mexican chocolate or a dark chocolate Kahlua pound cake. And if you spend any time in the kitchen, if you cook, you know that if you're going to prepare something, you have to make sure you have all of the ingredients. Because every part that is in that recipe is vital to how that recipe turns out. Now, I started working on it or started planning to get things ready and out on the counter to make my cakes. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh, shoot, I forgot to get milk. I had a little skim milk, but for the cake, I wanted to use either a whole milk or a half and half. And I had forgotten to get that. Had some buttermilk. So I looked. I had never used a buttermilk in a pound cake before. So I looked to say, is it all right to use buttermilk in pound cake? And they said yes. So I thought, oh, good, I'm safe. But I had to have all of those things to put in the cake. I had enough eggs. I had to have the baking powder. I had to have the chocolate, of course, for the chocolate pound cake, the cinnamon that also goes in it. I had to have, yes, the Bailey's Irish Cream and the Kahlua. I had to have those things, too, to go in them. I had to have the sugar, all of the ingredients, the butter, the shortening. I had to have all of those ingredients, or else I would have just had a mess, wouldn't I? I would not have had a cake. All of those things work together to create something that is hopefully delicious when you try it tonight, and something tasty and something enjoyable. All of them are necessary. Our bodies operate kind of the same way. We need all the parts of our body to function in a healthy way so that we can have a full life, don't we? Our eyes help us see, our ears help us hear, our fingers help us to feel and to touch. Sometimes if we can't see as well, we rely on our fingers to help us to navigate because we can touch and know where something is. We, of course, need all of our nerves and our bones, all of those things working together to give us life and to help us to be able to do things. And so our bodies operate much in the same way. The church as the body figures prominently in Paul's writings. He mentions it several times. We find it in Ephesians, we find it in Colossians, and of course in 1 Corinthians, that 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where he elaborates on the body extensively as the church. And then in the passage that we read today from Romans. In some ways, I see this passage of Romans as kind of a mini version of that chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, without all of the detail and commentary, because it functions in much the same way. And we could look at any or all of those this morning, but today this passage in Romans, I think, speaks to our covenant that we make as members of a church to participate in the ministries of the church through our service, maybe more than some of the others do. Because he mentions it, he likens it to the body in the context of worship. He likens it to the body in the context of worship, in the context of the corporate community gathered together. I mentioned before that Paul's letters, even those letters that were addressed to an individual, were written to be read corporately, publicly. And then they would be shared. Once a church read them, they would be shared with another church. So they were written for the whole community of faith, not just an individual, not just that one church. And so Paul places this in the context of that community. And you'll notice that he uses plural pronouns. He also connects it to that sacrificial act of giving. Make your bodies a sacrifice, a sacrifice. And so he places it in that sacrificial act of giving so that our act of service is just as important and no different than the giving that we talked about last week, of giving our financial resources. And so that act of giving ourselves, that service that we provide, is something we do as a corporate body, something we do as we support the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service. Now, Paul reminds us in this passage and in others that each person, everyone here this morning, all of you, have been gifted to serve. And he urges us to use those gifts for service. Everybody here has some gift, some talent, some ability that can be used to serve God through the church. And Paul urges us to use those gifts. If we have the gift of prophecy, we are to prophesy. If we have the gift of teaching, we are to teach. It's not if you want to teach, he says you should teach. If you have the gift of encouragement, then be an encourager. Put into action those gifts that God has given you, has graced you with, so that they can be used to build up the body of Christ, to support one another, and to carry out the ministry of the church that God has intended for us. And he also reminds us, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. Like any entity, sometimes in the church we think that there are those positions, those roles that are more important than others. Think again. Just like in the cake, everything that is going on in the life of the church is important. In my cakes, the butter wasn't any more important than was the flour. The vanilla I put in wasn't any more important than the sugar. The Baileys wasn't any more important than the eggs. All of it was necessary working together so that I could come out with a cake to bring this evening. And so it is with us in the church. No one here is better than anyone else. Just because you teach, that doesn't mean you're any better than someone whose ministry is sending cards to those who are sick. Just because you might work in the office to help out when Tammy can't be in the office doesn't mean that what you do is any more important than someone who serves on the trustees or the staff parish. all of those positions and roles are important because together it carries out the ministries that we have going on. Nothing is more important than the other. When I was serving in my first appointment, it was Mascot and Hopewell United Methodist Church in East Knoxville, just across the river, Holston River. And in one of my churches, there was a couple. He was able to come to worship, and she would come on occasionally, but most of the time she had to stay home. She had real bad arthritis, and so she considered herself to be homebound. And you might think, well, someone who's homebound, they can't do a whole lot for the church. But I tell you what, Vera Hicks had one of the strongest ministries I've ever seen. There wasn't a soul in that church, there wasn't a soul in that little town that had not received a card, many cards from Vera, and had not been prayed for by Vera. And people knew when Vera prayed, things happened. She was what you call one of those prayer warriors. Everybody knew that Vera seemed to have a direct line to God. And so when there was a prayer concern, they would call Vera or somehow get word to her, "We need you to be praying." And so she took that ministry seriously. She took that ministry of cards seriously. And she blessed lives because of it. Not long after, well, about a year after my dad passed away, Mom was up visiting and she was considering moving back to Kingsport from Birmingham. And so Vera was in the hospital. And we went to see Vera. And Mom had met Vera, so she wanted to go up and see Vera as well. And the next day, we were going to be coming up to Kingsport to help Mom look for a house. And so while we went to see Vera to have prayer with Vera, Vera said, "But I want to have prayer for you. I want to pray that you find a house tomorrow." And so Vera prayed for my mom that when we went looking for a house, she would find a house that she could move into. And sure enough, the next day when we went to Kingsport, Mom found that house. I feel certain Vera's prayers had something to do with that. That was her ministry. And it was an important ministry in the life of that church. Never discount what a ministry might be just because we think it is one of those lesser ministries, because all ministries in the life of the church are important. Even those in our online community can serve. Last week when we had our recognition of our saints who have passed on and joined that great cloud of witnesses, we had the white stones with their names on them. One of our online worshipers had painted those for us. Tuesday, I am having lunch with someone who worships with us online, unable to attend, because she wants to connect in some way through service. And she has a passion for children's ministry. So I've been talking with Krista about how we can find some things she can do, even though she's not able to be with us physically, but some things she can do to help to serve so that she can connect with us and carry out and use her gifts for service in that way. All that we do is important as we come together to serve. As I mentioned, that a part of the body, we are interdependent. As a part of the body of Christ, we are interdependent. Ephesians 4:16 says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Each of us fits together perfectly. Our ministries fit together like pieces of a puzzle. And yes, sometimes you have to move those pieces around because we get them in the wrong spot to start with. But every piece in a puzzle fits together to form that whole picture. And each does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. When we are doing our ministry, when we are carrying out the service to which God has called us, we are helping each other grow. Because we encourage each other, we give each other confidence, we support one another, we train, apprentice one another. And so we're helping one another grow. And that makes the body healthy. One of the things I love about this time of year is the migration of the geese. And you'll hear them going overhead quite often as they're flying. And if you noticed anything about the geese, you know that they always fly in that V pattern. And there's reasons for that. One of those reasons is, of course, that the backdraft that kind of helps them conserve energy. But something you may not know about that pattern is that periodically the leader, the lead goose, will drop back to the back and another one will take over. And it's a constant rotation as they're flying, depending on how far they are going. And so each of them is doing their part in leading that church. Each of them is carrying out their specific function for the health and the growth of the whole. And so it is with us in the church. When we're each doing our part, we're helping the whole of God's church to truly be that healthy body that God calls us to be. C.S. Lewis says, "For the church is not a human society of people united by their natural affinities, but the body of Christ in which all members, however different, must share the common life, complementing and helping one another precisely by their differences." It is our differences that help each other because they come alongside and complement each other. Just like the flavors in the cake all complement each other and help to bring that flavor that you finally get in the end. When we had the Rise Against Hunger, you'll recall that we had an assembly line as we were packing the food. And each part of that assembly line was important. We needed each part of that in order to complete the whole project. And so we all are necessary in how we carry out our gifts for the service of the church. But serving is also one of those places that we experience the greatest joy. Serving God produces joy. When we are using our giftedness in a meaningful way in the life of the church, and the life of the church includes our ministry to the community, then we experience a joy like no other. Paul writes in Philippians, "But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy." Even your faithful service is an offering to God. And Paul wants us to share that joy in that offering. One of the things that I love about ministry is watching others get excited when they find their niche, when they find that thing that God has called them to, that service, that ministry in the life of the church, and to see them all of a sudden come to life and just exude joy. I've been able to witness that recently as I've watched the ladies who have kind of adopted the altar and seen the excitement in their eyes as they have taken on that ministry of preparing our altar for worship. Even one who is in the sixth grade, down to one of our young people, connecting with the altars in a way and that becoming part of their ministry. I also love coming alongside people as their colleagues that are beginning that journey towards ordination and looking in that discernment process and coming alongside them and encouraging them and supporting them as they identify where God is calling them to be in ministry. But that's one of my greatest joys in my ministry, is to see you as you get excited where God is using you and you feel like you are giving back to God in a meaningful way. There is something for everyone to do in the life of the church. Each of your gifts for ministry is needed, is necessary, is an opportunity for you to serve God and to experience that joy. And so as you have that opportunity today to browse our displays and to talk and to look over our brochure, I hope you will identify some things that you would like to consider, or if you're not sure, ask some questions about that. As we close, I want us to hear this morning from some that have been serving in our church and to hear about how they have experienced joy and why they serve. So we're going to hear this morning from Kim McKee and Jeanette Jewell and Jan Goodsell.
I'm a nurse by profession, and for many years I had to work shift work and really didn't get to participate in service with the church due to not knowing my schedule from one week to the other, having to take call, not really being able to commit. So when I was able to go part-time and partially retire, I felt like that was my time that I needed to give back. It was time to make up for the times that, you know, I wasn't always able to help when I wanted to. As Christians, I feel like we're called to serve. It's exactly what Jesus taught us to do. And I found out that the more I got involved, the more connected I felt to the church, the more involved, the more invested. And it was just, you know, it was a good feeling. We need to be a part of the church and to give back. And basically, when we do that, hopefully it makes a difference in other people's lives.
I have served in the, or volunteered with the children's ministry here at Wesley for pretty much as long as I can remember. I've helped with lots of different areas with the children's ministry, but probably the one that I am the most passionate about is the children's Sunday school on Sunday mornings, which I believe the name is changing this year to Games and God Time. But that hour has always been such a special part of my life and I guess my ministry. Regardless of the week that I have had, the kids always make me smile, they make me laugh, and they just bring me so much joy. And I consider it really a blessing that I get to know the kids and build a relationship with them and just watch them as they grow on their faith journey and as they grow as young people. And I hope that I can continue in this ministry for as long as I can. I just, again, it's just such a blessing and such a wonderful part of my life.
Well, in this past year or so, I've taught Sunday school for the youth. And I've came when we had tracks of treats, and we helped wrap hot dogs, my husband and I. I also helped with Rise Against Hunger, and then played handbells a few different times at some of the services. And the reason why I serve is because we're told in the Bible that we're supposed to be the hands and feet of God. And so sometimes being the hands and feet is being the hands and feet to our family here at the church. And sometimes it's going out into the larger community and helping with the kids. It just, they have different experiences, and while they're not necessarily Christians that are experienced it as much as the rest of us, they still have their own take on things, and it's interesting to see how they think about things. You learn stuff about how they think, and you learn about you a little more because it helps you to think about things a different way and about your relationship with God. It also helps me connect to other church members and grow a deeper relationship with them. And in growing a deeper relationship with them, I think that also helps me, depending on who it is, sometimes you're accountable more for your religion. And it helps you to just grow as a church community so you can work together better. And just that talking about your faith with other people, I think, is important to see how you can connect with somebody else.
Hallelujah. God really loves us. Count every blessing. God's children are blessed to be blessings to others through church or community. In Christ, we are connected to one another. I enjoy meeting and helping others. I am retired, and of course, time is in my favor. The staff here are the very best, with compassion, personality, and energy serving us. I have been influenced by church staff and other Wesley leaders and followers, as well as community, in so many ways. Thursday this week, we went to Second Harvest Warehouse. The project Thanksgiving boxes had been finished, but we had the opportunity from Wesley, about 20 of us, to sort canned foods that have been donated, and that was 17,000 pounds in about 2.5 hours. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That was the scripture I kept repeating to myself just recently. A couple weeks ago, I headed to the site of the Women's Build, the Habitat House. Yes, and I led the group prayer that morning with that same scripture. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We started that at the beginning of the day, and do you know that by the end of the day, my fingers were stuck together because the glue soaked through my glove. And it was something that could be taken care of, but it was me preparing the foundation for weatherproofing, believe it or not. I have enjoyed creativity camp, accompanying kids to Paradise Acres, working on landscaping for the 1 acre cafe, being a mentor for confirmation class.
Everyone has something to offer. You don't necessarily have to be active. There's plenty of volunteer activities within Wesley where you can sit and either fold bulletins or newsletters or work in the office. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be out and active, although there are plenty of those opportunities as well.
I would say, first of all, to just take some time and think about your passions, what your gifts are, what brings you joy, and then take a look at the list of volunteer opportunities that are available. There are so many opportunities that are available for everyone, regardless of your age, abilities. I know some people like to work behind the scenes, some like to be more visible, some like to work with adults or youth or children, missions, hospitality, worship. There's just something there for everyone. And I can truly say that the blessing that you will receive from serving others is just, will come back to you tenfold. And also, I encourage you to, if you have questions about any area, to talk to the church staff. We have a great church staff, and I know they would be more than happy to sit down with you and discuss or answer any questions that you may have about a particular area, or and help you discern where your particular gift may be best utilized. And you may have an interest or that is not listed on that volunteer form, and they may help you find a way that that particular gift can be used. And again, I would just encourage you to try it in a particular area, and if it's not a fit for you, then try something else. There's nothing that says you're with that particular commitment forever and ever, so just try one that until you find the one that fits best for you. But I guarantee that the blessing and the joy will come back to you tenfold when you serve others.
I think as a volunteer, we all have ways that we can help and that we can offer our help. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the body being made up of different parts. And the church body is the same way. We don't all have the same gifts, and that's okay, because that way together we can help build a stronger church community by working with our gifts. And it makes us stronger because we have a wider variety of things that we can help other people with, that we can accomplish as a church service, or as a church together, I should say. And those different gifts are apparent in many different ways. I know back in 2006, I guess it was, we went down to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, a group of us here from the church, to help rebuild after Hurricane Katrina. And there was a group of women there who they said they couldn't go out on the site and build. They couldn't, you know, do all that. But what they could do was to cook. And so they used their gift of cooking and feeding others to give the people in that church who were cooking for everybody who came down to help a break. And they shared that gift with all of us who they cooked for as well. And that was their way of using their gift. So no matter what your gift is, there's various ways that you can find your place here in the church.
The more we give, we get in return in surprising ways. Let me tell you a couple stories. Several years ago, Pastor Carol Wilson asked for one more person, just one more, to be the first mission team in Czech Republic with our district. The team couldn't go unless one more person signed up. And of course, at that time, I was sure I was much too old. But hey, I did it, and it led to four more trips to Czech Republic through the district. First English-speaking church in Prague, the first ever Methodist Bible school in Czech Republic. Pastor Gerald Kasson asked me to drive a young man who had come to the church to the Sevier Center. And I said, oh, sure. I'm going that way home. It was no big deal. He was Jesus-like. And he prayed for me. The next day I was scheduled to give a devotion at a district meeting. The title of my devotion was Jesus in My Car Yesterday? When Pastor Ginger moved to her home in Elizabethton, we helped get her settled. She and I talked and talked in her kitchen and while we unpacked boxes, of course. It has indeed been a pleasure to get to know her and to look forward to the future. She sings with us also in the choir. Pastor Ginger and this awesome staff are leading us to new ways to serve our congregation and community. It truly is a joy. Faith makes all things possible, and God's not done with me yet. My wish for you is the very best in life, with faith, peace, joy, hope, and love.
All right. We appreciate their sharing their experiences and just the joy, and you can see the joy coming from them as they talk about how they have served and continue to serve. And like Susan said, I hope I can just keep doing this as long as I can, so that she just loves being with those children. Paul also talks about how we are to be a fragrant offering to God. And I thought about that last night as I came in after taking Moqua out, and I walked back into the house, and I could smell the aroma, lingering aroma of the cakes. All of those flavors that had blended together to create this wonderful aroma. And I thought, man, I wish they could make this into a candle or a wax melt because it smelled so good. But when we are pooling all of our gifts and our talents and our abilities together, we become that fragrant offering to God. And that is a sweet aroma to God. So let us consider this morning how we may serve together in the life of our church, how God might use your gifts, your talents, your interest to further God's kingdom here in this community and beyond. Let us pray. Oh God, there is no greater joy than serving you. Sometimes it takes a while to find that place where we really experience that joy, but it is there for all of us. When we can take who you have created us to be and use it to glorify you, that's really what service is about. We don't serve to receive our own accolades, pats on the back. We do it because we want it to be a gift to you by giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. So Lord, today, may we hear your calling to serve. And if we're not sure where, like Susan said, let us ask questions. If we're not sure what our gift is, let us explore a gifts inventory that can help us to identify where our gifts for ministry may be. We are all a part of this body of Christ, and we need each other. You need us all. Let us be faithful. It is in your name we pray. Amen.